So part of our technology will automatically download all those types of utility invoices, then extract the data. So to eliminate any sort of data entry required, then it can be approved and paid.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Braden Hebert is the co-founder of CondoWorks, which is an accounts payable automation platform built for property management companies. Braden is also an accountant turned entrepreneur. Braden, welcome to the show.
Yes, thanks, Sam. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. The pleasure is mine, Braden. There are three questions I ask every guest who comes on the show. In 90 seconds or less, can you tell me, where did you start, where are you now, and how did you get there?
As you alluded to, I got my start as an accountant, working for one of the big accounting firms, then went to a big company, but I entered the startup and tech world about a decade ago in that role. And that's where I met my current co-founder, who was the chief technology officer of that first company. And so my path was in the startup tech world in those finance roles. I went through some acquisitions throughout that, but wanted to take the leap into the early stage, incubation stage of a company, and joined him as a co-founder of CondoWorks.
That's really cool. What is the opportunity that you guys see? I guess, you know, one, the startup tech world is highly competitive, and, you know, I can't imagine jumping into that. That's something that, kudos to you guys, you know, for being willing to take those risks. I think that's really cool. But what's the opportunity that you guys see in what you're doing right now, and why is now the time to do it?
So maybe I'll go back to the very beginning. So one of the things that my co-founder did, in addition to helping build and develop companies, is he also became the treasurer on his condo board. And that's where he saw firsthand some of the challenges that face property management companies when it comes to processing and paying their bills. So there's a high invoice volume, there's multiple stakeholders, plus complexity, not from the accounting side, but operationally, if you're trying to keep track of discrete financial records across all of your properties, the accuracy and routing and recording of those invoices is critical, but complex, because paired with those challenges, it's also an industry that has been slower to adopt some of the more modern technological solutions. And so, for example, he was signing hundreds of checks every month. He was seeing vendors taking 6 months to get paid. And you know, when you calculate the internal cost to the property management companies, it can cost $15 to $20 per invoice just to pay that. So he said, well, this is awful. But being the tech guy he is, he said, there must be a better way, and I'm going to build it. And so that's how CondoWorks was born. And we see that pain that still exists across many property management companies.
Got it. No, that's really interesting. How does this differ? And forgive my ignorance here, because I neither run a tech startup, I don't run a accounts payable automation platform, and anyway, forget what else I don't run. But anyway, all of those being said, when it comes to accounts payable, in my mind, I think, gosh, I mean, it seems like you could just get ACH set up out of your various bank accounts. You receive your invoices, you ACH your vendors, and off you go. Why is it not so simple?
So I would back up. You know, paying it can sometimes be the easy part. It's the full cycle being receiving or getting the invoices, then having it properly approved, entering that information into the accounting system, so recording that invoice, and then issuing payment. So our platform handles that end to end with tech and automation built in throughout that process. So like I'll you know, one of my favorite examples is a utility bill. So you know, gas, power, water, even you know the telecom bills. Either they're coming in the mail a couple of weeks later, then you've rushed in to pay them, or someone has to spend time logging in and clicking download invoice. So we you know, some of our customers were spending days just doing that. So part of our technology will automatically download all those types of utility invoices, then extract the data. So to eliminate any sort of data entry required, then it can be approved and paid. And so a lot of that upfront work in terms of just handling the invoices can be eliminated, which once you get to a certain scale, you know, some of our customers are processing, you know, thousands, 10,000 invoices a month. And so that can really add up across the team.
And the opportunity for error, I mean, just becomes right. magnified, where it's like, did we get that utility invoice that's emailed actually paid? And did it get logged properly? And we're counting on, which is just crazy in 2023, we're still counting on human touch on some of those things where it's like, and so, no, I see what you're saying. And that makes a lot of sense, especially for property management companies that are handling, like you said, you know, thousands potentially of invoices a month and going, gosh, is this being properly logged? I mean, even for us, at just the handful of facilities that we own, we're trying to put those processes in place where it's like, hey, is that paid this month? I don't know. So those are some of the meetings we were having just recently. We're like, is that okay? No, this needs to be a system, like very, very tight knit system. Maybe we're not.
Or
at scale.
Say, oh, hey Sam, our lights went out. What happened?
Right.
Oh shoot, that invoice that I guess we didn't get it. Forgot to pay it, and yeah, that's the worst that can happen.
Absolutely. Yeah, you get a disconnect notice and you're like, how, which we haven't had a disconnect notice, but I'm just thinking worst case, like you're saying, like lights went out or you get a disconnect. How's this happening? And I can see how it happened.
That was a theoretical example, of course.
Right. Yeah. Right. Luckily it has not happened to us. But that is, I mean, I could see it very easily happening accidentally, or it's like, we don't know how we missed that. So that's really cool. Can you tell me, we talked about this a little bit before we kicked off the show. You used the word condo. More broadly, maybe than what I would say here in the States. Can you define really kind of the broader scale of the product that you guys are developing and what condo means?
Yeah. So yeah, I had said our current branding gives away a bit of our origin. So maybe if I say the word aboot or process, it'll also give away my Canadian roots. So right. We got our start in Ontario, in Canada, where condo is kind of the catch-all term for a HOA or community or association. And that's where we got our start. And that was the branding and the website that we've been developing. But our goal more broadly is to be a solution for all types of property management companies. So whether it's the condo HOA association, as well as commercial, residential. And I was actually looking up our customer roster. We have a senior lifestyle management company in the Tennessee area as well. So the challenges are similar. And it's from a branding, it's something that's on the strategic table for us. But yeah, thanks for bringing that up. Just to be able to help, broaden the conversation and to help to clarify that.
Right. Because I mean, your product could very easily be deployed across industrial facilities or, you know, industrial property managers to multifamily property managers to, I mean, anybody that's managing a large portfolio of assets that, you know, like you said, you know, has an incredible accounts payroll or accounts payable, excuse me, if I could speak today, you know, invoices coming in, you need to have that product where you can reasonably take those in, make sure they get paid, and then do it again without making sure that there's a manual process to keep track of that. So Braden, one of the things that you said in the onboarding question, I always ask this again for those of you that listen, what's a fun fact or surprising view? And one of the views that you put in there, Braden, was that tell me a company's tech stack and I can tell you their growth rate. I think that's really, really interesting. What does that mean?
I like the question prompted it, trying to be a bit, you know, controversial or edgy, but so like we've, you know, in building this company and talking to hundreds of property management companies, you start to see different patterns. And as a business, it's in, you know, real estate in general is often, it's quite local. And there are, you know, there are companies that's their focus. That's where they want to go. But there's others that I call it I use the term escape velocity. For those that are able to build a company that expands into a wider geographic area. And so there's a, you know, in property management specifically, there's startup costs are low, the switching costs are low. So it's relatively easy to create your own. If you're a property manager, you get four properties, you can exist as a standalone business. But those that obtain the escape velocity are the ones that have that extra, is it whether it's ambition or operational excellence to be able to grow, and specifically I think manage people is a huge part of that, beyond their local area, beyond the greater metropolitan areas that they're in to grow into a much, much bigger footprint. And the other pattern is that the use of technology is a common characteristic of those companies that are able to obtain that escape velocity. So, operationally, they have to be solid. The managing of people is a huge part of that. But the being able to adapt and effectively use with the modern technological tools that exist can really help those companies to grow at a higher rate than others who aren't necessarily doing that.
I think that's a really insightful observation. It's not something I would have thought about, but what are some of the things, I guess, that as you see those various companies that are willing to embrace technology, willing to embrace automation, like what does that say about them? Because there's more to it than just, hey, I like technology and automation. There's something about their mindset and their approach.
It's not chasing the new shiny thing, but it is a mindset that exists. That they're thinking about how to improve their business. So they're not chasing the everyday fires. They're able to elevate it and think strategically. So it's not about we have these cool tech toys. It's they're thinking strategically about how to just effectively manage their business. And the tech they use is a part of that, but it is a common pattern that we've observed amongst those companies that do seem to have a higher growth rate than others that aren't there.
Yeah, no, I think that's really insightful. And you said not putting out fires because it takes time. I mean, it takes time to think through. Yeah, there's automations, there's technology out there, but implementing it is a discipline, I think. I know at least it is for me. Maybe I'm not that bright and I'm certainly not tech savvy. And so, for me, it's harder to be like, okay, how are we going to use this tool effectively in our business? And then how does it act, or how can we structure it such that it solves problems without creating a whole pile of new ones that now is just more work? And so I think but figuring those things out to where you're getting beyond the day-to-day, like, okay, hey, this is how this technology solves problems and saves us time and money is really, really cool. How do you view that as it pertains to your business? Like what are you guys currently doing to use tech to establish or get that escape velocity that you need?
Yes. Yeah. We had a meeting with some of our investors last night, and we're also guilty of that as well, in that being able to focus on your current customers, and you want to provide a good level of service for them and a really good experience. And that can often trump thinking about, okay, I need time to work on the business. So it's working in the business, working on the business and carving that out. And that's where, one of the benefits of having, whether it's a board of advisors or your business groups that you may be in is it does act as a forcing function for you to think about the business and how to improve it. For tech, one of the benefits of being a tech company is that we can build a lot of our own solutions,
right,
to help that. So we got our start in about late 2019, and we've since grown across Canada, United States, different types of property management companies, but we've managed to do so and multiply the footprint of the company without multiplying the amount of people that we need to support that customer base. And so that's having a discipline from a product development standpoint, not to just focus on new features or the shiny things for us, or being new things for us to develop. It's also being able to focus on, how do we make our system as efficient that not only helps us, but it does also help our customers in that they have less questions, and there's things that make it easier for them. So it does come down to discipline though, at the end of the day, to force yourself to take that step back.
It is hard. It is absolutely hard. We in our laundry facility business, you know, we use software inside of that, and it's interesting to watch. And it's newer, not completely new, but they're still constantly solving problems. And there's even forums where we can put in feature requests where it's like, hey, you know, we'd love to see, you know, XYZ on our point of sale or whatever, you know, whatever the feature is. And I would think for you guys that same thing probably is true, where people are constantly saying, hey, what's, you know, can we have this feature? Can we add that? Can we add this? How do you prioritize those? And what's maybe a problem that you guys are actively internally trying to solve that you haven't solved yet?
The prioritization question is tough, because everybody has their, yeah, that has, well, yeah, has what they want. So you have to balance, one is this a one-off for this one customer? Some of them are louder, than others. And so you have to consider, is this broadly applicable? Will future customers find this attractive? And also you have to also, weight that, as to the revenue potential, right, as well. And so we've had some of our, as we've grown, we've gotten bigger customers that have pushed us in a good way to develop the features that they as a bigger company need for their scale. And so that's been, you know, how we have prioritized those features. And in terms of what's on our roadmap, some of the ones that I'm personally most excited about is to help. There's a lot of similarities and applicability beyond, you know, going from, you know, HOA or communities to commercial and residential. There are certain nuances to, you know, outside of the HOA space that do differ. And so it's there are certain features that would be very well received by certain potential customers that we've had conversations with in the commercial space, for example, or, you know, even in rather than being third party managers, you're an asset manager, where you own everything versus in the HOA space, you're managing independent HOAs. And so, being able to achieve that vision, the more broad of being able to cater to property management more broadly, building off of that HOA association condo base.
Got it. That's really, really cool. All right. Last and final question for you is, what's something about your software or your solution maybe that I haven't asked that you would want to make sure that we cover?
Well, we spoke about the automated utility downloading, which is one of those eye-catching features, as boring as it sounds. You know, but everyone hates dealing with their utility bills. So, right. If we can automate that, that's something that people really enjoy. If I can say too. So one is if your current operations include handling paper, whether that's receiving invoices on paper, having a cabinet that you store everything in, or signing paper checks, you know, if you can envision that going away, that's especially, you know, when we talk to owners, oftentimes they're the ones who sign the checks, and it's like, okay, well, what happens if you go on vacation? Well, you know, I sign a bunch before I leave, and then I have a huge stack when I come back. Okay, well, you know, the conveyor belt doesn't have to stop running in those scenarios. So that's one. And I think the other one that in the larger scales is being able to really configure who needs to approve what invoice. And so it's reducing a lot of the noise, but also automating how who needs to approve what invoice and when, and enforcing that. So one, it can reduces work, but also it helps enhance internal controls to make sure that invoices are being properly screened. So that's we're getting a little deep there, but that's the stuff that we care about.
Those are huge pain points that you're solving for, though, especially that invoice. I mean, at least that one, that invoice approval speaks to me, where it's like, you know, as we grow, I go, my gosh, you know, is I don't want to be in front of every invoice that comes through the door and have to be the one that signs off on, like, oh yeah, okay, you know, whatever it is, we're, say we're redoing a facility, the paving contractor sends their, like, I mean, this, there should be a way to, and again, maybe that's just a, you know, small example that doesn't apply, but I think there's, you're touching on some things that everyone thinks about and is trying to figure out a way to solve. So that's very, very cool. Braden, thank you for taking the time to come on the show today. I certainly enjoyed it. It was great learning about what you guys do, how you do it, and the opportunity you guys see in the market right now. And it sounds like it's being very well received. So this has been a blast having you on today. If our listeners want to get in touch with you and learn more about you or your product, what's the best way to do that?
So our website is condoworks.co. So not .com, but .co. And so that's our website. And then we're most active on LinkedIn, which where you can find me on there as well as CondoWorks on LinkedIn.
Fantastic. We'll make sure to include that there in the show notes. Braden, thank you again for your time today. This was certainly a blast. I do appreciate it.
Right. Thank you, Sam.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.